Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains. In this week, we're going to be talking about the Winter Olympics because, as most of you probably know, even if you're not a sports fan or an Olympic fan in any way, the Olympics are going on. NBC's been pumping out their commercials leading up to the games for, I'd say, since the summer. The Olympics are only every 2 years, so it's a big time for NBC. It's a big time for these athletes who are competing in the games in Pyeongchang, South Korea. And it's also a really big time for business because as much as the Olympics are about sports and competition in the height of these Olympic sports, and there's only so many people that ever get to go to the games, it's really a big, huge marketing opportunity for a lot of companies. If you don't know, the Olympics are in Pyeongchang, South Korea. We're going to talk about the broadcast partners, the sponsors, the athletes, some of the innovations that are going on. But before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about my history with the Winter Olympics, because I'm a little biased towards the Winter Olympics and the fact that I'm a big fan. Cool Runnings was my favorite movie growing up as a kid. If you don't know, it's about the first ever Jamaican bobsled team from 1988, and that was in Calgary, those Winter Olympics. So I quote that movie till this day. Probably people don't love it so much, but me and my family, one of my favorite movies growing up. And then also in 2002, I went to the Winter Olympics when they were in Salt Lake City, Utah. So I saw ski jumping there, some downhill skiing events, bobsledding, of course. If anyone ever gets a chance, the Olympics are coming back to the States in LA. I think that's 2028. If anyone gets a chance to ever go to the Olympics somewhere, it's a really, really cool opportunity. The atmosphere is amazing. It feels electric. So if you ever get a chance, shameless plug, try to go to the Olympics. It's really fun. But a little bit about the Olympics in South Korea themselves. So it's the 23rd ever Winter Games. It's the second in South Korea. Seoul hosted the Summer Games in 1988. Funny enough, the Olympics until 1992, the Winter and the Summer Games were all in the same calendar year, and now they're every 2 years, which I think helps out with the Olympic countries themselves and some monetary things like that, so they don't have to try to pump out both of these teams in the same calendar year. And Seoul's also going to be the first of three straight Olympic Games in Asia. So it's Seoul now, and then Tokyo in 2020, and then Beijing is getting the Winter Games in 2022 after they hosted the Summer Games in 2008. And then Pyeongchang itself, its population is only about 44,000 people. It's the smallest host city since Lillehammer, Norway in 1994. It's about 2 hours away from Seoul and only 50 miles away from the border of North Korea. So that's kind of ominously hanging over the Olympics. Mike Tirico and Katie Couric were talking about it on NBC's coverage of the opening ceremonies, and they got a little backlash for maybe overdoing it a little bit about the North Korean threat. But it's also a big deal because some North Korean athletes are at the Olympics this year, which the South Koreans have mixed feelings about, as you can imagine, but they're there. And in terms of the coverage, what you're seeing, if you're watching it, it's South Korea is 14 hours ahead of Eastern time. So some of it's going to be on tape delay, but a lot of it, if it's a morning or early afternoon event, it will be basically live in prime time. So that's something NBC is really excited about, where they don't have to have stuff on tape delay. So especially now with social media and you can see everything as soon as it happens, the events kind of lose their luster if this event happened 8 hours and everyone knows 8 hours ago and everyone knows who won, and then you're trying to watch it pseudo live in prime time. So it's good for NBC that is they can have as much possible live prime time coverage. And then what's also crazy about this Olympics is that this is a big Wall Street Journal piece that came out right before the Olympics, that in 2009, the South Korean president, he pardoned the Samsung chairman. I'm going to butcher his name, so I won't even say it. He pardoned him. He was in jail for financial wrongdoing, or maybe he didn't actually go to jail, but he pardoned him from his convictions. It was a big deal. And he said to him in 2009, and this is from this piece, go get the 2018 Winter Games, like bring them to South Korea, do whatever you need to. And it was a big deal because he was not only the president of Samsung, who had spent over $500 million as a direct IOC sponsor, which is kind of shady. And that's what this article was saying, that they're probably not going to let something like this happen again. And the president of Samsung was also an IOC delegate. So not only was he's basically just, he had a lot of power, and Samsung was giving a lot of money to the International Olympic Committee, who's been in the past looked at sort of like you'd say FIFA, where it's a little corrupt. There's billions of dollars pouring into this organization, but they got the Olympics. And this year, Samsung is actually going to be all over the place in South Korea at the Games. So they're going to have pavilions and with their virtual reality headsets and other tech. They're actually giving all of the athletes at the Games a special edition Galaxy Note 8. So every Olympic athlete, you know, they're saying not all these people make a lot of money. You get a free $900 cell phone. I don't know if you want it, but so Samsung is it's a big deal in South Korea, and it was a big deal getting the Olympics to come to South Korea, because another big thing that the IOC is looking at, and one of the things that Pyeongchang might be one of the last Olympics that is in a place where there wasn't already a lot of these venues. They're trying to be more sustainable. Rio was a big deal that they were building all of these venues and big, massive stadiums that then weren't going to be used. And going forward, they're trying to have events in host cities that already have the structures. So Pyeongchang might be one of the last places that they had to basically build this whole Olympic Village, all these stadiums, and there's still not really enough hotels. A lot of people are having to take the train from Seoul every day to and from because there's really nowhere to stay up there. But now I want to move on to the broadcasting. It's NBC's. This is so after the Super Bowl, which NBC actually just had, and now a week later, it's their big every 2 years. NBC is all in on the Olympics. They've paid billions of dollars for it, and therefore their parent company, Comcast, it's also really important. I mean, this is something that NBC going forward, NBC Universal, knows the Olympics are not only a prestige thing for them, but it's something that live sports, and I know I've beat this over the head, if anyone listens to this show a lot, it's live sports are one of the only things going forward on television, whatever television looked like, that advertisers want to be a part of, because there still is the live aspect of it. And anything else, it can just be on demand. It doesn't matter when you watch it live. You don't know what's going to happen. That's why NBC is all in on the Olympics. This year's coverage, it's about 2 weeks. I think it's 16 or 17 days. So by the time you're listening to this, it'll be about 2 weeks left. The main NBC channel, so on the weekends and primetime from 7 to 11 every night, or depending where you are, they're going to have about 176 hours of coverage. And then across NBC Sports Network, CNBC, USA, they're going to air like 2,400 hours of coverage. And then you can also pretty much watch every second streaming on the NBC Sports app or NBCOlympics.com. And then Hulu, YouTube TV, PlayStation View, DirecTV, basically anywhere you're watching streaming if NBC is a part of that package. So NBC in Rio 2016 got all in on streaming. They're trying to get ahead of that. Basically, they want anybody to be able to watch the Olympics however they can. And they're going forward with this model of, we're going to do it on television, we're going to do it on streaming services, however you want to watch, the Olympics are going to be there for you to watch. And a little bit about how much money they've actually spent, to put it into perspective, it's kind of crazy. So from 2002 to 2008, the NBC paid $3.5 billion for those Olympic years. And then they outbid Fox and ABC/ESPN. So Disney owns both of them. They paid $820 million for the 2010 Winter Games, and then $1.2 billion for the 2012 Olympic Games. And it doesn't stop there. Then they paid $4.38 billion to land the four Olympics from 2014 to 2020. So that deal still going on. And then basically right before that deal even started, I don't know that to be exactly true. It could have been right after the 2014 Olympics. They spent $7.75 billion to double down on the Olympics 2022 through 2032. So they have the rights all the way through 2032. In total, over since 2000, they have $17 billion either spent or committed on the Olympics alone. So as you can see, it is a big deal to NBC Universal. It's a big deal to Comcast. It shows up on their quarterly financial statements. In Brazil 2016, that quarter that it was on their books, Comcast said it generated $1.6 billion to the company alone, and that's mostly through advertising revenue purely. NBC said it made $1.2 billion in national advertising sales, that for the Rio Summer Olympics. And then if you look at this year, NBC came out the day their Olympic coverage was starting, which was last Thursday night, and said that Pyeongchang, they made $900 million in advertising commitments from U.S. broadcast partners, and it was the most ever for the Winter Olympics. So the Summer Olympics are a little bit more popular. They're events that in sports that people are more used to in general, and it just has a broader appeal because not everyone skis or bobsleds or luges. Most people have never done any of those things. But so it's a big business for NBC. And also, in terms of their broadcasting, they did this in 2016 in Rio as well, and it's continued here. They partnered with Snapchat to have different live, small live coverage in a couple little different shows on Snapchat's platform. So they have this show called Pipe Dreams and then Chasing Gold, and it's going to feature all these top American athletes that NBC has been pumping out, because the big thing with the Olympics is they have to create stars. Obviously, some stars pop up, but they have to create buzz about some specific athletes. So they're hyping athletes like Lindsey Vonn, the big downhill skier who has been a big part of the Olympics for, I think, the last two cycles. The young U.S. snowboarder, she's 17, Chloe Kim. She debuted last night and did really well in some preliminary runs. And then Gus Kenworthy is a freestyle skier. And then Nathan Chen was the big young American guy who's a figure skater. And they've been hyping him. And then he debuted Thursday night, and it was a little underwhelming. I watched that. He fell. I think he fell twice. And yeah, the broadcasters were like, we've never seen him fall ever. He looked really shook. So that can't be good for NBC. But actually, who knows? Maybe that is better for coverage if there's some controversy, or maybe you think he's going to fall. But overall, NBC is really committed to the Olympics. They see it as, like I said, not only prestige, but something that drives revenue going forward. And going forward, it's just going to be bigger than ever. So this year, they're going to run 7,200 ads, or maybe a little bit more than that, during their coverage over the next 2 weeks. And that is 31% more than 2014. So if you're watching it on any of the nights so far, you will see that there are a lot of ads, and that's just how it's going to be going forward. And then looking at who these advertisers are, they're not necessarily all IOC sponsors, but when you look at the IOC, which is the International Olympic Committee, this year, or during the 2017 through 2022 Olympics, which is they call it a quadrennium. That's actually a word, so it's not they call it that, but during their quadrennium cycle, there's going to be 13 companies that are their top sponsors. And you basically have to pay $100 million or more. I don't know exactly the amount, but it's around $100 million to be an official Olympic sponsor over the four-year period, and then you get to advertise with the Olympics and promote your products at the games and all that different kind of just marketing stuff. $100 million, it's worth it to these companies. So the 13 of these companies are Coca-Cola, Alibaba, Atos, Bridgestone, Dow, General Electric, Omega, Panasonic, Procter & Gamble, Samsung, Toyota, and Visa. And Visa and Coke have been huge Olympic sponsors for forever. If you watch the Olympics in the United States, you will see them advertising nonstop. A big sponsor that actually just dropped out after the last Olympic cycle was McDonald's. They had been an IOC partner for 40 years, but the Olympics got three new big advertisers after that. So in 2017, Intel, Toyota, and Alibaba signed on to be new official Olympic sponsors and partners. And the IOC said that between 2013 and 2016, they generated over $5 billion from these companies and just in general sponsorship revenue across the board and all of that. In terms of NBC's coverage and who's sponsoring that, it's Toyota, Visa, Farmers Insurance, Google. I thought that was an interesting. I haven't seen Google advertise much for sports, and they were an official sponsor of the Olympics. Coke, you have Chevy, Xfinity, which is Comcast, so that's clearly why they're doing it. It's on NBC. And then Hershey's. So there's going to be a lot of family-related ads and mothers helping these kids become Olympians and all of that. All that really emotional and really rah-rah Olympic stuff, which I enjoy, and I'm sure a lot of people do, and that's why these sponsors are a part of it. But in terms of athletes, sponsorships, and you'll see all these athletes in a lot of these commercials, there is a rule, and this is another thing that the IOC people might be upset about. There's a rule that says if you're not an official Olympic sponsor, you have to, months in advance, submit a letter to the IOC and say like why we should be able to sponsor these athletes or this event. And then they have to, the IOC has to approve your campaign, and you have to start running it in October before that Olympic, or a certain amount of time before it. But this year it was October before the Olympics start in February. So you had Bose, Lululemon, United Airlines, Under Armour all had to basically petition the IOC to run any ads with any Olympians. And in terms of these Olympians, there's 244 U.S. Olympians this year. Like I mentioned, some big names were Nathan Chen, Lindsey Vonn, Shaun White, Chloe Kim. And then if anybody watched the Olympics this weekend, a 17-year-old kid named Red Gerard. I don't know if his first name's actually Red. That's what he went by. Red Gerard won slopestyle for snowboard at 17. So he's going to be a name that you'll see for the next couple weeks now. And then he'll probably pop up on all those talk shows after this. But Lindsey Vonn, based on what I've been reading, she is the highest paid athlete at the Olympics across all countries and all sports. She earns about $5 million, which I thought is crazy. I mean, for a skier, that is amazing. So she has advertising and sponsorship deals with Under Armour, P&G, Beats by Dre, and then I'm assuming an array of others. And then Shaun White was behind her. He's been the Olympic snowboard champ for, I think now this is his fourth Olympics, and I think he's won gold at all three. I could be wrong. Shaun White, they said he pulled in about $4 million a year. And besides that, what's crazy is a lot of these athletes don't really make much money at all, and some of them are losing money. Some of these athletes are paying their own way. I was watching some coverage this weekend, and the snow conditions were so bad on some of the downhill skiing events that the skiers' skis were getting ruined. And this one guy who made the U.S. Olympic team, he wasn't a part of the U.S. ski team, so he only had three pairs of skis, couldn't use all of the advanced and really expensive equipment that the ski team brought. So he was just going to have to stop doing practice runs because his skis were getting so messed up, and he didn't have any other skis and had no way of fixing them. And that's what you realize, that for all the Lindsey Vonns and Shaun Whites of the world, there are a lot of people who are paying their own way, working second jobs, and at some points losing money. Some of these teams are losing money. But what the U.S. Olympic Committee is doing now is they had a 50% boost in winning incentives from Rio. So if you win gold, you win $37,000. If you win silver, the U.S. Olympic Committee gives you $22,000. And if you win bronze, $15,000. But that's only if you win. And there are a lot of people that go to the Olympics and don't win. So it's really not that much compensation when you think about all the time and all the money that's being spent on these sports, especially these Winter Olympic sports. A lot of it's really expensive in general. I mean, just skiing or the ice time, all of these things are crazy expensive. I was reading how from a young age, if you're trying to be an Olympic figure skater, that 6-year-old kids are being charged like $150 an hour for ice skating lessons. And it's just, it is a big commitment for these families and these athletes, but they're doing it. It seems worth it to them. Dick's Sporting Goods, if you ever watch, they talk about how they employ people. It used to be Home Depot's big thing. I don't know if they still do it as much, that they employ athletes so they can pursue their dream. Dick's Sporting Goods, the day the game started, came out and said, we have 11 athletes in the Winter Olympics and Paralympics who work at Dick's part-time to supplement their training regimen. So that's nice that they do it. But yeah, like I said, for all of the big time athletes and all the Michael Phelpses of the world, there are thousands of other athletes who don't make any money and are probably losing money. And this is just something they're really, really passionate about. They had a U.S. snowboarder who was living out of a pop-up trailer outside a Steamboat to try to make the Olympic team, and he made it. He was just like living off ramen noodles and just living in the woods, basically, and he made the U.S. Olympic ski team. He didn't qualify for the medal round, so he went all the way to South Korea, and then he gets to ski basically twice, which I find it fascinating, and that's why people like the Olympics. It's, they want to do it. There's no monetary incentive really whatsoever. It's just, I'm an Olympian. I have that forever. That's what this is here for. And it's something that a lot of American, especially if you play a big four American sport, it's these side sports that no one really cares about besides the Olympic 2 weeks. It's a big deal for these guys or girls to be in it in general. And so that's why the Olympics is a really big deal to these athletes. And then if you look at the gear, this is, all, like I said, all of this is just a big marketing 2 weeks for all of these companies. So the opening ceremonies is always a really important thing and something everyone's watching. And Ralph Lauren Polo, I think, has been doing the U.S. Olympic team's outfits for a while, and they did it this year. It looked very Colorado Western 1960s, the gloves. Basically, if you saw, people were making fun of it, said they looked like the guys from Dumb and Dumber when they showed up to Colorado. They looked all right. I mean, it's a statement. They're not supposed to look like normal people. It's supposed to be something people are talking about. So Ralph Lauren did that. Nike's doing, as they always do now for Summer and Winter Olympics, they are doing the medal ceremony gear. So if a U.S. Olympian wins a medal, gold, silver, bronze, they'll be up there in all Nike gear, fancy Nike shoes that are actually boots, but they look like moon boots. It's very interesting. And then Burton, they're going to be in the headlines this whole week, next 2 weeks, for snowboarding events. Their outfits, this isn't just my opinion, their outfits are supposed to look like the original astronaut uniforms from the 60s. So they're white and they have it. Look them up. They're actually really fun. North Face is doing the free skier team. And then Under Armour, after getting, they got crushed. If anyone remembers, they did the uniforms for the speed skating team in 2014. And the athletes came out and panned them, said they were terrible uniforms. So they're back. Under Armour is sponsoring them again. All the speed skaters are wearing Under Armour. And they're also doing bobsled and skeleton. And that's kind of good for Under Armour. That was their original bread and butter, that skin tight cold weather gear. So it's really not a good look when that's your bread and butter and it's your first time in the Olympics and the team comes out and says, these are terrible, we want something better. Well, they got a second chance. We'll see if anything comes out about it being not good this time around. I haven't heard anything yet, though. And then to kind of round this out, as we finish up, Intel, who is a new sponsor for the IOC, if you've watched any of the coverage, they're hyping that they are going to have 30 events that you can watch in virtual reality. Intel is saying it's their largest scale virtual reality event to date, and the first time they're doing the Winter Olympics. So they're shooting and broadcasting 30 events. Half are on demand and half are live, where if you have Intel True VR goggles and you use the NBC Sports VR app, you can choose from 6 different angles and just watch the Olympics in VR, which I haven't done. I think it would probably be really cool. I think they're doing it for bobsled, luge, some downhill skiing events, figure skating, and some other things. But so Intel is all in on this. They're a new sponsor. They're trying to promote virtual reality, which in the long run, who knows? In 20 years, maybe that's how everyone's watching the Olympics, just with headsets and you feel like you're following the snowboarder or skier down the run. It could be cool. I don't know if I'd want to do that. I don't really like seeing 3D movies with glasses on, and I definitely don't know if I want to be sitting with a headset in on my couch. But who knows? Maybe it happens. Intel also partnered with a South Korean communications service provider, KT Corporation, and they're testing out 5G the whole time that Pyeongchang games are going on. So Intel is all in. And then just kind of to round it out, and this is NBC's thing. NBC should be a little bit worried that the Summer Games in Rio, which is obviously bigger than the Winter Games, their ratings were down 9%, and that included streaming. So that's not great news for NBC, but they're still all in. They're trying to do some new innovations. Like I said, there's a lot of commercials going on, so they're doing a little picture-in-picture where they'll still show the Olympic event going on, but they'll have an advertisement running at the same time. They just don't want people changing the channel, and when there's constant commercials, they're going to get people changing the channel, and that's not good. But one thing to point out at the end of the NBC-related Olympic episode is that they did have at least the foresight in this last deal that runs through 2032 is that the exact wording is NBC is going to have the U.S. broadcast and cable TV, internet and mobile rights, plus any technology that has yet to be invented. So however we're watching the Olympics in 2032, whether it's a chip in your brain, something crazy like that, NBC is going to be there and they're all in. And like I said, I cannot stress enough that these companies who are sponsoring the event, NBC, everyone who's involved in the Olympics, just they know, like lots of people do, that live sports are really the only thing that needs to be live at all anymore, besides maybe the Oscars and the Grammys, which that's two things a year. Besides that, it's all live sports. The Olympics are a big, big, huge international event broadcast to over 200 countries. It's a big deal. NBC is going to be there for a while. I encourage you to watch some Olympic coverage just to see what they're doing. And either a little or a lot, maybe if you have Snapchat, check out what Snapchat's doing. Just kind of see what the Olympics are all about and how they're transitioning into this new modern day media landscape. And that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.